1 to 12, and we know this passage well because it's where God tells Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is standing at the time where he's been prophesying to Judah, return to God, return to God. He's done his prophetic acts. He's wanting the people of God to heed the word of God. But instead, they're doing their own thing. And so God calls his prophet, Jeremiah, and he says, go down to the potter's house. And he tells him that there, I will tell you something. And it's funny because at a potter's house, it's all about what you're seeing, but God is going to speak through what he is seeing. And see, sometimes we want to listen and think there is this word that comes out of the heavens with angel songs around it and heavenly sounds or God's big booming voice. But Jeremiah the prophet teaches us that it's some of the normal things that are happening around us and in our lives that God wants to speak to us through what we're seeing, right? Jesus did this when he said, look at the sparrows. Look at the lilies of the field. The sparrows, they all have homes and they have plenty to eat. The lilies of the field, not even King Solomon was arrayed as beautifully as they are. Look at what's in front of you and see what God might be saying. See, God speaks to us through what is right in front of us. What's right in front of us. He will speak to us through what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we feel. His truth doesn't only come through mystical happenings. His truth comes through things like a potter's wheel. And what I want to, because I had the whole historical context and about not wanting to make sure, but right now, because of this moment that we're in, I can see the image of the pottery, and that's just what I want to speak to. So here Jeremiah goes down, and God wants to show him something. God wants to teach him something, and it starts with the potter's wheel, and the potter is molding it, but then it doesn't come out the way it should, whether it fell over or it collapsed or whatever it was, but then he began to reshape it. And the funny thing about pottery is that we look at that text and we think we know what all it's about, but if you study pottery or you talk to someone who does pottery, then what you realize is, and I'm going to use a visual, actually I'll use a chair and the bass speaker. So, oh yeah, thank you. Just put it on either side. I'll sit whichever one. But you know, with pottery, there would be a big a wheel right here, right? And there would be a pedal that would keep it spinning. And then with the other hand, there's water because you have to keep it wet. But the hardest thing about pottery, to make pottery, is to get it centered on the wheel. It's got to set in the middle of the wheel or it becomes misshapen. If it's not in the center of the wheel, the way that the hand moves in pressure is not going to form it the way that he wants it. And so our first lesson at the potter's house is, are we centered? What are we centered on? Are we centered on Christ and the word? Are we centered on our struggles and our issues, our pain, our problems? Are we centered on the world? Are we centered in other things like I'm this, however we label ourselves? What are we centered on? But if we understand that we're the clay and God's the potter, then if it's his wheel, we need to be centered on his wheel. Because he wants to shape us and form us. And what was going on with Judah is that they had become misshapen. Just like us as believers, you know, if you go to a potter, what they do is they have a big 15, 30, 50 pound, whatever big lump of clay, and then they take and they cut it out from the rest. See, Judah had been cut out from the rest of humanity and was put in on God's wheel to be shaped. But it becomes something else that God didn't recognize. And so it's brought down so that it can be reshaped. But here's the thing, when God, the other thing you learn about pottery that you don't pay much attention to is that when you do pottery, the potter is always involved. And he has to sit in a position where his arms are right up against him, so he or she can't move. They're right there overseeing every bit of it. Their hands are in it. And they keep this here so that there's the right pressure. See, God knows how to put the right pressure on us to form us. And he knows that there has to stay water on it, because the moment that clay begins to dry out, it won't be shaped easily. And so then we have to ask ourselves, where is my heart? Is God shaping my heart? Where is my heart brittle at? Where has it begun to get dried out? Because God can't shape what we've let get dried out. And that is the water of the word and the oil of the spirit for the believer in their heart. Being in the center of his will, allowing him to shape us. But knowing that pressure is what brings the form. But the potter never leaves until the pot is finished. And see, God is not some God that's far off and commanding things. One of the problems in the text with Jeremiah is that the people of Judah say, never mind, it will be what it will be. And that's fatalism. And there's too much of that in our nation, too much around us. And what fatalism is it says that nobody has any power in their lives. Nobody has any control, that whatever happens is completely out of our control. And it's called fatalism, but it's not true. Because even God in this passage with Jeremiah is letting them know, listen, if you repent, this won't happen. He told Adam and Eve, if you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will have life eternal. He told Cain, if you don't go through that door where the sin is crouching, you'll be okay. But see, it's we don't like to stay centered on the wheel. We like to think we know what's best for us and our shaping. And sometimes that shaping is painful. Like losing loved ones. Not because God takes them, but he wants to use their pain to shape us. He wants to let us know that life is not just happening to us, it's happening for us. But not only that, the cross has already happened to life. Now, how do we allow the cross to happen to us so we can happen to life? Jesus is forming us in this life, and all of the pain physically, all of the pain emotionally and mentally that we've gone through, if we will stay centered in the wheel and let the potter shape it, everything that had disfigured us in the past season, disfigured our hearts, disfigured our thinking, disfigured our view of ourselves. Every time we go in the mirror and we see something that nobody else sees, it's the enemy that has disfigured us. It's the things that got us off center. It's our own thinking where we thought we knew best had moved us off the center of the wheel. And if we're not centered on the wheel, then we can't receive what the potter has given us. And so we're either going to fly off or we're going to have to be reshaped. But God is a God of mercy and grace. He never throws us away. But some of us are wondering, what is going on in this season of our life? And we may not have the answers. We may never get them. But beloveds, if we trust that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we don't have to fear evil, but that his rod and his staff, his forming and his shaping is leading us, then we can trust no matter how painful it is, when the potter's done with it all, it will be a useful vessel. We will be useful vessels, valuable in the house of God. But we got to be centered. We got to stand in that place and be centered. I have a prayer that I wanted to pray. See, the potter loves creation, though. That's the other thing you have to realize. The potter loves the creation process as much as he loves the end result, or they wouldn't do it. That idea of my imagination and how the clay plays into my hands, what will form. I can keep forming the same thing, but I have the creative imagination to allow a cup to become a bowl, or a bowl to become a vase, or a vase to become a great clay jar that Jesus eventually turns from water to wine. God's creative abilities. See, we think he just, we think God's going to transform it, but what we don't know is he's going to take clay and make it beautiful. He's going to take dirt and water. Guess what? That's what we're made of. And make something beautiful out of it if we stay centered on the wheel. And those centering sometimes are going to be your spiritual disciplines, your prayer, your meditation, your fasting, your solitude, your silence, coming to church, having community. And sometimes it's going to be doing something for someone else. It's going to be serving a stranger. It's going to be many, many things. But we're always going to be looking for Jesus and what he's doing through us. God doesn't want puppets. He wants those who trust. That's why fatalism doesn't work for believers. He wants us to choose to obey. He doesn't want to force us. He doesn't want to make us. And he never has and he never will. And if you don't understand that from Scripture, then we need to read through it a little differently. See, we know ultimately judgment will come to Judah because Babylon does take them captive. But if you follow the stories of the prophets, it was a long time coming. And God didn't have to orchestrate it. Their sin did. Alliances with Babylon, then alliances with Egypt, feeling betrayed. That's how the last king of Judah was murdered by Babylon, for betraying Babylon to Egypt once he gave up. See, sometimes we can be like that. Like, we know that God tells us to go this way, but it looks like God may be opening the way through another, or at least that's what we fool ourselves with. But we have to be careful that we're not leaning on the wrong things and stay centered in the wheel, or we won't be able to discern if we're going the right way. So I want to conclude with just a few reflection questions based on how the healing time went, what God was speaking to us through the prophetic, the imagery of the wheel. There's so much more to that, but I just want to draw attention to the things most of us aren't thinking about. We are the clay, yes, but we need to understand we've been cut away, been chosen. We're a vessel chosen. And he has a vision for what he wants to shape, but that shape only comes forth on the wheel when we're centered in him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then we learn that it's not just about the potter can do whatever he wants. We have to understand that the potter is involved. He's invested. He's not distant. He's right there shaping and forming, using everything that is given to him to form and fashion a thing of beauty out of what was just clay, water, and mud. And so as we reflect over this week, over this message, over what happened, what transpired among us this morning, where in our lives do we feel off center? Where do we not feel centered in God? What practices can we begin to institute again? Maybe there's practices that need to be refired up. Prayer, worship, scripture, silence, service, helps. These are the things that make a path toward God's center. Think of all the times God, as the potter, has allowed you to collapse and be reshapen. How many do-overs have you had? I don't know if I can count mine. Where might we as individuals, but also as a church, be saying it's no use? There's no need to try anymore. Because nothing works, and it's already been decided, and I don't have any say, and I'm just one person. I'm just one little church in Easton. Where have we given into fatalism? Where we've determined it's already determined about ourselves, about our city, about our church, about our families, about our children, our grandchildren. What excuses or what fears are keeping us from being pliable in God's hands? What ways could shame, guilt, or condemnation be keeping us from exposing our whole heart and our whole lives to God? I'm not saying to one another. I'm not saying to 100 people. I'm just saying to God. I'm working through one right now. I didn't know was there until Bishop Sharona called me out in the middle of the pastor's meeting. I'll talk about it when I can get healed a little bit. Feeling a little raw still. Anyway. As a prophetic community, how does our centering become important to our community and our world? How does we as a community of people on God's wheel being shaped and us staying centered on what he's called us to do? How might that affect this community if we don't? If we keep trying to do, you know, I don't want to be that church that's trying to redo what everybody else is already doing. And I'm not saying that's what we are. I'm just saying it's things we have to think about. And then it will help us discern when we're trying to do that. In the future, how do we create a space for God to keep reshaping us? Not only individually, but communally. Just things I want us to weigh. It's okay to focus individually right now, but if your mind wanders toward the corporate, that's okay too. But if you would you repeat this prayer after me? Oh Lord, you are the potter, and we are the clay. Shape us, mold us, and center us in your hands. When we resist, collapsing happens. But thankfully, God, you do not discard us. So, Lord, remake us in the image of your mercy and grace. Where we have said it is no use, we will follow our own ways, forgive our stubbornness, soften our hearts, and make us pliable in your hands. As long as the clay is wet, there is hope for reshaping. As long as your spirit moves, there is hope for renewal. Lord Jesus Christ, center us in you. Continue to make us a prophetic community, bold in truth and alive in hope. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. press in on us, mold us, fill us, use us. We are the clay. You are the potter. Shape us for your mission, O God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bless these, your people. I bless their coming and their going and their rising and their laying down. I bless them as they go up the road and as they come back again. I bless them in their homes. I bless them in their communities. I bless them in their marriages. I bless them in their relationships. May they be blessed from head to toe, from top to bottom, and everything in between. In Jesus' name. And so now I pronounce, lift your hands before the Lord. Go now as clay in the potter's hand, centered in Christ, pliable in the Spirit, ready to be reshaped for God's mission. And may the Lord who remakes vessels, the Christ who redeems failures, and the Spirit who renews hearts go with you now and always. Amen. Bless you all. Bless you all. Hallelujah.